Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted this year's Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Huh? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me today. 800-531-3815. Toll-free coast-to-coast. And my website is www.jbsba.com. That's a short one. If you like typing, here's another one, smallbusinessadvocate.com. Or if you just want to remember my name, that'll help sometimes people and for folks who'd like to find me. And just type in jimblasingame.com. Don't put any extra letters in there, just like it sounds, jimblasingame.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. It comes every week by email. And this week, the feature article is The Four Levels of Professional Consciousness. So check that out when you get a chance. Stephen Brock is our guest and our new friend. He's the founder of GoPublicToday.com. He's a registered investment advisor. He holds NSD licenses in the Series 7, Series 63, and 65. And we're going to talk about some different ways to capitalize your business. Stephen, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Jim.
It's good to have you here. Stephen, one of the things that my audience knows that I've been talking about for a long time and have been concerned about is the future of capitalizing small businesses' growth, the growth of small businesses. I'm really concerned that that in the future, as small businesses becoming more dependent upon as an integral part of our economy, we're not just backwater mom and pops anymore taking care of our little local communities. We're actually, small businesses are really becoming integrated into all aspects of the economy, that we're becoming more dependent, the economy is becoming more dependent upon us, but yet the ability for us to capitalize our growth is not becoming more effective and more available, and I'm concerned about that. Are you?
Very much so, and have been focused on that for a number of years through the equity building type programs of taking companies public through, there's only a few different ways a small business can go public, but using that as the strategy to raise equity rather than debt has been something I've been focused on for a long time.
All right, tell us quickly the basic advantages of raising equity versus debt.
Oh, the beauty of that is the fact that you don't have to pay it back to anybody. That's a nice thing to have right off the get-go, but also the fact that you're now bringing on investors and shareholders who can possibly help further your business through the fact that they might be product suppliers or service providers who will also help further your business because they want to see the fact that they bought stock in your company to help make you move further ahead.
The bad news about debt is that it causes typically an immediate drain on cash flow. And the good news about equity is that it doesn't do that. Now, the good news about debt is that your banker is typically not telling you how to run your business. And the bad news about equity is that if you've got investors, they're looking over your shoulder.
They can pick up the phone and give you a call, which I've done to some of my investments and said, hey, you know, what's going on? And they do have to engage you because you can easily get them in trouble if you don't engage the investor and help them out to understand what's going on.
Well, many small businesses, not all, and I don't even know if I'm going to say most, but small businesses, many small businesses know how to go to a bank and borrow money. And one of the things that we try to do on this show is to help them learn how to do that and how to go to a bank and borrow money. But most small business owners don't know anything about how to raise equity. And I want you to talk to us about that.
Sure. The easiest way to do that is generally to hand out an offering document that it says that you're going to get so many shares for so many dollars to a potential investor. And a lot of people a lot of businesses hand out private placement memorandums, PPMs, that say, okay, I'm going to raise money from you and generally friends, family, business associates, and someday I'm going to go public and find an exit strategy for you. I have always discouraged that only from the fact that if you don't truly have an exit strategy built into the document, it's not fair to any of the investors and even the owner. So,
Also, Stephen, you mentioned the PPM, the private placement memorandum. A lot of times that doesn't even exist at the level you're talking about. It's just maybe it's written down on a sheet of paper or something.
That is very true. It could be a one-page document, just says, give me so much money, I'll give you so much shares.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the end of the story there. Very, very true.
Right.
Fortunately, a lot of people do tend to, at least in the world that I'm in, I see a lot of people developing PPMs, at the very least business plans. Mm-hmm. And the business plan typically does not have any financing component in there. Because they only know their business, they don't understand finance.
Stand by, Stephen. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to go into this a little bit more with our new friend, Stephen Brock. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The ships roll in, then I watch them roll away again. Yeah, I'm sitting on the...
We're back at 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me remind you, coming up in the show straight ahead, Rob Jolis is going to join us and talk to us about salesmanship. Bill Dunkelberg is going to give us a report on how the economy's doing out there. Michael Harrison is going to talk to us about the future of talk radio. And Barry Moss is going to join us to talk to us about how to get a little bit crazy and to be successful by getting a little bit crazy. That's coming up in the next show. We're visiting with our new friend Stephen Brock, and we're talking about how to get some capital into your business. And one of the ways is to go public. And Stephen, the going public is not for every small business, but there are people out there who would like to know if they wanted to go public, what would that involve? And many of them are thinking, well, you know, I got to spend $500,000. I got to go to Wall Street. I got to find a brokerage company that will take on my listing. I've got to do an IPO. I've got to go through all this stuff that the dot-coms did back in the 90s, and most of them are out of business now. So do I need that? I mean, there's a lot of misinformation out there, isn't there?
Yes, there is. And the beauty of small business and the SEC is that a lot of the rules changed back in early 90s, late 80s. The small business could start to tap into equity building programs and go public. And they can use state registered offerings under 504. They can use 506s, which are private placement memorandums. They can use reverse listings. Although reverse listings, companies become public immediately with a reverse listing. A 504, 506 type of public offering typically would take about a year to a year and a half to finally get public, but during that period of time, they're actually able to raise equity as they're getting ready to file at the SEC to have what's called a fully reporting document so that they can trade on over-the-counter bulletin board. Mm-hmm. There's the pink sheets that's out there, the over-the-counter bulletin board, the NAMAX, Small Cap, NASDAQ, NASDAQ, NYSE. So the market that small business focuses on using to raise equity once they are public is the OTCBB and the pink sheets.
Over-the-counter bulletin board and the pink sheets. That's typically where the small, really, really small caps are traded, isn't it?
That is typically where it is, although with the way the markets got hit, you could find Lucent Technologies at $1.40 a share trading. So, but typically that's where you'd find small business raising their monies, and under the OTCBB rules, you must be called as a fully reporting company and file just like the big boys do. And on the pink sheets, you have no reporting requirements, and which is a much more skeptical market, so to speak,
right,
in where you would raise money.
Let's talk about, before we get into all the technology, I mean the technical aspect of this, which the more you get interested, the more you'll be more inclined to absorb that stuff. Let's talk about what a company would look like and what would be going on in that company's life that would cause them to think about going public. What would be a profile company if the phone rang in the next hour? What would you want the ideal small business to look like that you would help them with?
Well, the company has to think in terms of no less than regional, typically national, hopefully international goals of bringing in and selling products and services with a national footprint, at the very least, it would be the best process. They should also have a level of sales nicely done with maybe $1 million a year. Maybe they have a few shareholders. You don't need to be profitable, but you can even get companies public with zero sales. I mean, I've done it many times. I don't recommend it.
Yeah.
So
But typically, at least $1 million in sales.
I'm sorry?
At least $1 million in sales. But the thing is really more than the volume, even though volume is important, more than the volume, it sounds like you're more interested in what their perspective is for their future, not so much in where they are at this moment.
That is very true. They really have to have a game plan that is bigger than where they are right now. And it's got to be at least regional, preferably national, right, in their scope of selling.
All right, so this company comes to you. Let's say it's a $5 million company. Let's say it's a $10 million company, and they
sure.
and they need, you know, the truth is, a $1 million company can get money at the bank, and with the interest rates now, that's not too bad. You know, the debt service is not too heavy on them. I see the problem with the companies that are a little larger, maybe in the $10 million range. They've outgrown their local banks. But they're still not big enough for the larger banks and for the national banks, and they need $1 million, $2 million worth of capital, and they really can't get it. A friend of mine calls that no man's land. They're in no man's land.
It's very difficult. However, if they do a reverse listing, for instance, because
what
that is
tell us what
the
that
quickest
is.
Route. I'm sorry?
Tell
yeah,
us what
if they
is.
Do a reverse listing, they would be public within about 30 to 45 days.
But tell
Once
us what that is. We don't know what reverse listing is.
Oh, I'm sorry. A reverse listing is taking a public company that has become dormant or has become distressed because the business plan has failed, and they're pretty much sitting out there with just a public ticker symbol.
A shell.
Filing a shell. It would be a shell in the ultimate end. But sometimes it's not just a pure shell. They could have some sales going on, et cetera, and it's really they want to go private because they can't make a go of it as a public company, and they want to flip that public vehicle to another private company that might have a better opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
This, in turn, allows the investors and even the owner of the public company to still keep a little bit of return from their investment. So once they decide upon that private company can merge into that public company very, very quickly. And once they have that, they now have a ticker symbol would change to the new company's
moniker. They start talking about their business plan, what they're working on, and hopefully attract some investors to sell some stock, which raises equity for the company. And we're going to get Stephen to talk
correct.
To us about this some more right after these messages. It's 10 till. Stay with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with Stephen Brock. He's with GoPublicToday.com. He's the founder of that organization. And, Steve, I want you to tell us about your organization and also your website. And you've got a white paper you want to make available.
Yes, I have two sites. One is called PubcoWhitePapers.com. And there you'll find about 125 different white papers that explain going public and being public. And
the bad, and the ugly.
The good, the bad, and the ugly. Generally, all technical in nature, though.
Right.
And the if the listeners would like to get called alternative IPO reverse listing white paper, if they email me at sbrock@pubcowhitepapers.com, I will be happy to send them a free white paper on that particular subject.
All right. Let's say that we've got somebody listening out there who's got, you know, they've got $1 million, they got two, maybe $5 million in sales, maybe $10 million in sales, and they're saying, you know, I'm at my wit's end, I'm sick of dealing with, you know, trying to raise capital the typical way, I've outgrown my local banker, and I need some help, I got an opportunity to grow here, I got a good model, good business model, I need some help, but I know absolutely nothing about going public. Is there a document, a paper, that will take me by the hand and say, okay, this is a football, let me show you how to play the game?
At the PubCo White Papers site and at GoPublicToday.com website, there is a lot of technical information on what it takes to go public under the various ways of doing such, whether it be...
But is there one there that would be a good tutorial, a good elementary beginner?
There's one called 8 Steps to Going Public.
That's the one. Okay, that's the one we want. 8 Steps to Going Public. Folks, check that one out first. Read that one first, and then as you increase your IQ on how to do this, then go to the next level, and you'll start to understand the jargon, a little bit of the lingo of this. Actually, it's a discipline that you need to learn, because let me tell you, folks, you do not want to go public if you don't understand what's happening. You've got to educate yourself, right, Stephen?
It's very true, because once you are public, many private owners that are now public are looking into the abyss on what they have to do. And they now have gone from running their business maybe out of their back pocket and doing things the way they want to now they have the SEC and the NASD looking down their shoulders and saying, okay, what are you doing every quarter, and must tell the world. So it's a huge decision, although the fact that typically and statistically a public company will be worth 7 times more than a private company, it's a trade-off that you have to really concern yourself with.
You really have to get your mind into that level. I mean, you can't you've got to really change how you think about your business if you go public. Let me ask you this question: which example of a way for a small business to go public has the lowest impact, the lowest scrutiny, and the lowest cost? Which is the best example?
Well, you know, I don't think anything has the lowest scrutiny, only because everything is geared towards disclosure. Now, once you are public, take the road of not being fully reporting, as it's called, and you trade on the pink sheets, you now aren't disclosing every quarter. That would probably be the lowest level of scrutiny out there.
But it's also the lowest opportunity, isn't it?
It's also the lowest opportunity from a fundraising aspect, because now people don't feel as secure investing in your business because they don't know anything about it. They can't pull up your filings that are mandated by law every day, actually.
Does your organization helps companies go, small businesses go public, doesn't it?
We help them go public. We also help maintain them once they are public, so that we manage their compliance as a way to make sure that they stay compliant with
the
SEC.
So you actually become the compliance department for these small businesses?
A small piece of it, yes.
Yes, okay. All right. And so, folks, the main thing I want you to know is that there are options out there to raising capital beyond going to the bank for all the money, beyond earning it all, because most of us can't earn enough money. We don't put enough money on the bottom line in any given year to fund the growth fully. So we've got to have revenue from other sources, capital from other sources, either from a bank or from equity. And what Stephen's talking about is another way to do that besides profits, besides retained earnings, and besides bank debt. And that's through equity capital.
It's the best way in my book.
Yeah, yeah. 30 seconds, Stephen, last thoughts.
Just that, as you had said, companies really, that's a huge decision for them. They should gain as much knowledge and education as they can before they go public and make sure that they have the capital involved to do it right, so that when they do become public, they're not sitting there at the end of the day with a checkbook that doesn't have some cash in it to get the job done, which is really the compliance and getting the word out about their business, because you've got to create demand to make those shares rise.
Well said, Stephen. And will you come back again and talk to us about this some more?
Be happy to.
Thanks. Stephen Brock, ladies and gentlemen. And that's gopublictoday.com. Check that one out. And don't forget to check out those 8 steps, the white paper there on the 8 steps. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.